Our readings today give us a chance to examine the benefits and the limitations of fear in our spiritual life. And to gain that understanding, I'd like to highlight a couple of different aspects of the Gospels, the Gospel and the readings that we read today. So let's begin by being in that upper room with the disciples. And we hear that the disciples were afraid. We hear they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. So there's lots of reasons that they were afraid. I mean, thinking a ghost would make me afraid too. But I think there's some other reasons for them to be afraid. So remember, they had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd seen his miracles. They knew he said he was the Son of God. And they knew he said that he was going to die and be resurrected on the third day. And yet, they doubted. And they watched him be crucified. And rather than stay with him, they abandoned the Lord. And Peter in particular denied the Lord 3 times. So in this way, all of the apostles participated in the crucifixion and death of the Lord. And when Jesus appears to them, they know who he is, who he said he was. He's God. They also knew the Old Testament well, and they knew that the Old Testament said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So when they saw Jesus, I think they were afraid that he was there to exact retribution. They knew that their doubts and their betrayal was wrong. Jesus was right, and they were going to get it. They were frightened, and therefore they were sorry for what they did. I'm sure they did love Jesus, but they were more afraid at that point. Jesus knew this. He knew they were afraid. And that's why his first words are, "Peace be with you." Rather than exacting the violence that the apostles expected and maybe deserved, in mercy, Jesus offers them peace. So we see this fear and Jesus' offering of peace. That's the first aspect. The second aspect, I think, is also very important. Jesus still has the wounds from his crucifixion. He still has the marks on his resurrected body. He shows the disciples his hands and his feet. So this effects of the crucifixion, the effects of the sin, did not all go away. It still remained. And yet, by showing his hands and his feet, Jesus turns these horrible wounds into something beautiful, into hope, into a reason to believe. So we've seen the fear of God, we've seen the consequence of sin, and we see this hope. So the third aspect, I think, is important, because once the disciples receive this peace of Christ, we hear they become incredulous for joy and were amazed. They turn from this fear and they begin to love. Their minds are opened and their hearts are burning. So sometimes when I reflect on this sin and the fear that I have in my life and the consequences I see, I can react in one of two ways that is mistaken. Both ways are mistaken. One, I experience the fear and the fact of the consequence of sin, the reality of that, and I think my sins are too big, they can't be forgiven. And so doing, I question even God's power to forgive my sins. I think my sins are too big. Again, the focus here is on me. It's me, it's all about me. On the other hand, sometimes I see that God forgave the sins of the apostles and offered them peace instead of destruction. And I think, yeah, maybe my sins don't really matter. I mean, what is a sin after all if it's simply going to be forgiven? But again, here, I'm thinking about myself and my sins and that I can do anything I want. Again, the focus is on me, not on the Lord. And I've seen others act the same way, and it's not healthy. And I think to understand how to walk through or get through this problem, we need to turn back to our readings. And in the second reading, we hear that while sin remains, Jesus is the expiation for our sins. In the outpouring of his life, he atoned for our sins. So without Jesus, we cannot be saved. He offered himself to bridge the gap that the sin of Adam and Eve had created. We couldn't do that without Jesus. So first and foremost, we need to understand it's him that we rely on. He does the work to forgive our sins. It's not all about us. But in the first gospel and in the first reading, we hear that we are to repent and be converted so that our sins may be forgiven. So while Jesus is doing the work, we also have a work. Our sins are real, and God has given us this horrible power to reject him, to refuse him. But he's also given us the wonderful ability to accept him into our lives. We hear in Scripture that we are to make up what is lacking in the crucifixion, in the passion of our Lord. And what could possibly be lacking in that other than our participation? So our work is simply to turn to God and let him do the work. So going back to the problems I articulated before, the first one where I think my sins can never be forgiven, that's really scrupulosity. And again, it's all about me. Jesus can do nothing. And the other hand, we have presumption. I'll be forgiven no matter what I do. And I wonder sometimes why I see others reacting this way. Why do we do this? I mean, it's not rational particularly, but I think like the disciples, we see the reality of our sin, and it causes us to react in fear. And the fear, I think, overwhelms us. So we either get stuck in our sin, so we can't move forward, or we can't deal with it, so we just say it doesn't matter. And again, neither one of these are really healthy ways, because we're not dealing with reality at that point. And I think the church proposes an answer to this problem, and the solution that the church proposes is love. Like the disciples, we need to encounter Jesus and be then incredulous with joy. I think a good way to examine or to explain kind of what I'm trying to talk about is to look at the church's teaching on contrition for sin. The church teaches that there are two basically ways we can have contrition. And by the way, contrition just means this act of repentance and being sorry and going back to the Lord. We can have imperfect contrition and perfect contrition. So imperfect contrition is, I'm afraid I'm going to hell, and so I'm sorry for my sins. Perfect contrition is that I love the Lord and I see that I've breached our relationship and that I've hurt him in a way, and I'm sorry for that, and out of love I want to return back to him. And so to be clear, the church teaches that imperfect contrition is good enough for us to accept God's mercy and be forgiven our sins. Because through that fear, as we saw in the first reading, or in the gospel, we turn to God. And that's what we need to do. And I can tell you, this is exactly how my reversion to the Catholic faith began. I was living in a place where I didn't know exactly if I was going to hell or heaven, and frankly, I was living in a bit of hell, because what is hell other than separation from God? So I was afraid that I wouldn't make it to heaven, and therefore, I began taking steps to the Lord out of fear. But here's what I found out about fear. Fear only takes you so far, because in the end, fear is still about me. I'm worried that I'm going to not make it to heaven. Fear drove me to do a lot of pious things, not because I was opening myself to God necessarily, but because it was the way that I knew that I could achieve my own salvation. Again, the focus is on me. And what I found out is, eventually, these things that I were doing, I would just get tired of doing them because it's my effort. And I'm finite. I'm not infinite. I will give up eventually. But love, on the other hand, avoids all these problems. Instead of this incessant focus on me, the focus is on God, where it belongs. And instead of thinking I need to do these things to achieve my own salvation, I recognize that these things are good. They open me to God, and that's why. So out of love, then, I begin to do the things that we need to do to open ourselves to God. And that's what I realize the work is simply to turn to him so that he can do the work. And so when I act out of love, I don't get tired because I'm just desiring to do that good which Jesus wants me to do and is calling me to do. Ultimately, Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out all fear, and God is love. So I think we hear in the beginning of the gospel today the road to Emmaus, and I think that together with the joy that the apostles felt and experienced on receiving Jesus is a good model for what I'm talking about. When we sin, we walk away, we turn and walk away in fear and desolation. But when we encounter Jesus, who follows us and invites us back, we turn and we go back with love and joy. Our hearts burn when we follow the Lord. So our job is not to make light of our sin or to get stuck in it. Jesus is bigger and better than anything we could ever imagine. And the only thing that keeps us from him is our refusal to open the doors of our heart. In the very midst of our sin and our betrayal, in the very depth of it, his message is clear. Turn to me. In fear if you must, but in love if you can. He will be there. He will forgive you. And ultimately, you'll be able to return to him the love which he so freely pours out to you.